Blog Talk Radio.
Wall. That's what the Lord came to do.
oxygen and separation in our lives and our walk. And he does that by giving us the truth of God's word. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Friend Life. I mean, Facebook Live. Good evening, good night. Maybe good morning to some of y'all on the East Coast and the mid-central time zones. God bless each and every one of you. This is Minister Dale Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 11:35 p.m., January 11, 2017, and I'm glad you're here. For those who's up with us this night, or those who will be looking, watching early in the morning to this podcast and this live stream that's recorded up, God bless each and every one of you. We need to tear down the walls. We need to tear down the walls of being politically correct, because we need to speak the truth in love, and that's what God does. And this is why we're doing what we do. We're going to be talking about the seven things God hates. Because we live in a world, a post-Christian world, where friends, people believe that God just loves everything. He loves all things, including the sin in people's lives. And we need to get back to what the Bible says and get out of what we feel, what we think, what our emotions say. We need to get back to Scripture and get away from Scripture. And that's why we do what we do here at the Word of God. We bring forth nothing but the truth. I don't care what my opinion is. It means nothing. I care about what Jesus said. And the Bible speaks for itself. And God never, ever, ever compromises his character. He never goes against his very nature. If God says he hates something, that's just what he means. He hates. And he does not tolerate us to it. He doesn't tolerate trying to soft soap or trying to water down the word of God. He wants us to preach the word straight up. Straight up with no chasing. So that's what we're here to do, is bring forth the word of God in love, but I got to give it to you straight up, no chasing. Amen. So, hey, the call in right now, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468, if you want to call in. If you want prayer tonight after this message, the door is open right now. You can call in, listen in, and at the end of this podcast, you can be able to we'll give you an opportunity to pray. If you need prayer, or if you need an opportunity to express whatever is going on in your life right now, opportunity for the body of Christ to stand in the gap with you, that'll be an opportunity for you. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. If you want to call in, and those that's on live stream right now, you can also call in too, and stand by while we're waiting to the end of this podcast. But we'll be talking about, again, the seven things that God hates. How does that line up with our life? Because most people say, well, God doesn't hate anything. Oh, yes. Yes, he does. He hates sin. The things that go against his very character, he explains in Scripture that he hates. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a quick announcement. Tomorrow of a busy day, Thursday night Bible study. But let's go before the Lord right now and invite him in. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, as your humble servant, Lord God. We just lay ourselves at the foot of the cross that you have used us, Lord God. Use us in a mighty way that we can touch souls, that we can minister, that we can lift up and encourage, Lord God. Exhort and even rebuke, Lord, if needs be. But we do anything we do for the glory of God, and we do it in love. We do it to magnify your name, your ministry. But right now, Lord, we just ask, Lord God, that we would decrease, that you would increase, and that the Spirit of God would have his way in this Bible study this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We say, amen, amen, amen. 646-668-8468 is a calling number. 646-668-8468, calling number. Real quick. Tomorrow, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you'd like to come out and join us for Bible study, Thursday night Bible study, Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org, www.corechurchla.org. Come check us out tomorrow, 7:30, as we go to the Book of Matthew. Tomorrow, keep me in prayer. I will be speaking at the Fred George Mission down on Skid Row. My brother, Daryl Hackett, invited me. Come down there and bring the word again. My second speaking opportunity to speak in a public appearance in the last 2 months. So I want you guys to just lift me up. I'll be down there probably, I think it was at 2 o'clock last time. So from 2 to 3, I'll be down there. But I'll be there early. But we're going to be bringing the word to those that's down there on Skid Row, because once they get fed a spiritual meal, then they're allowed to eat the physical meal. So keep us in prayer for that tomorrow evening. And also just keep in prayer physically, because on new medication, the body is adjusting to it. So whatever the Lord is allowing, whatever's going on in this temple right now, sometimes I feel a little sluggish. But hey, by the grace of God, I'm still able to come and bring the word as much as possible. So some of the times when you don't see me, it's not because I'm not wanting to speak. It's just that I don't have the energy, or my mind is not really, I'm kind of off balance. God got me dealing with some stuff, y'all. So just keep me prayed up, all right? So with that being said, what does this mean? The seven things that God hates. The seven things that God hates. You cannot serve two masters. Let me back up here. We need to first understand that God does hate sin. And because he hates sin, he has to judge the sinner, because sin doesn't just operate outside of God. Sin is not just running around like some bug or something, just moving around and doing what it wants to do. Sin operates through human beings. It operates through people. Because of sin, there are sinners. And sin comes into the body, and it starts to use us and manipulate us, and we start to fall in for the okey-doke. But we need to understand, friends, that we need to understand that because God hates sin, because he hates sin, he also has made a provision for sin. And that was through his son, Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, we were all allowed, and we were all given the opportunity to participate in the free gift of salvation if we would trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come by faith and receive the forgiveness of our sins. But will everybody come to Jesus Christ by faith? No. The Bible says, for this is the condemnation in John chapter 3, for men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You're going to have some people that's just not going to come and have your sins forgiven. They don't want to be forgiven of their trespasses and sins because they love darkness rather than light. They love sin. And see, you can't love two masters. You can't. This action, in the actions here, it's an interesting statement. This is the hardest sermon series to preach, because most people believe that, you know, God doesn't hate anything. He doesn't hate nobody. Well, he hates Lucifer. Lucifer betrayed him. Satan betrayed him. He was the greatest angel ever created. He had some pipes on him, so to speak. This brother could blow. He could sing. He had a voice like no other. But because of his talent, because of what he was given, he thought that he should be worshipped. Many today think they should be worshipped in some way. A lot of the entertainers, the people of Hollywood, the people in the music industry, some pastors and teachers think they should be worshipped. They don't outright say it, but they will. They love the accolades of men. They love to be praised by men. We look at this series of the seven things that the Lord hates. In Proverbs 6:16, he tells us, these are the six things that the Lord hates, seven being an abomination. In this series, we look at the seventh item the Lord hates, one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows discord among the brothers. As we see here in Proverbs 6:16. Hold on here. Proverbs 6:16. Look at this with our eyes wide open, because this is real stuff right here, because when you look at what God is showing us, he's showing us how he looks at sin and how we need to look at sin. Because, see, if we don't have a biblical perspective of sin, we won't have a biblical perspective of God's righteousness and holiness and his justice. Because, see, if somebody was to break into your house and rob you, you want justice. You want justice. If you could point out who did it, you want them to be, you want them to pay for the crime that they did. You want them to be prosecuted. Well, God feels the same way when it comes to us violating his word. When it comes to us standing against what is true, you and I take the, when you and I do not want to follow the word of God, then we won't follow the will of God. If we're not following the will of God, we're out of the way of God. We're not following biblical truth. We're not standing on what is right. The problem of sowing discord, as we see in Proverbs 6:16, it says, the explanation, the Hebrew word discord means, is the same word strife, meaning a lack of harmony between persons, often in marriage, where a difference of opinion leading to war. Discord is an inharmonious combination of tones. Think music wise. If you were in a band or a symphony, or you went to the Philharmonic, you went and heard the Philharmonic, everybody must be in sync for it to be a harmony, for it to be music, for it to be something that's uplifting. If the drum is playing off key, or out of, if he's not playing in the right place, if the piano's not playing in the right place, if the harp is not playing in the right place, if it's out of order, then it's discord. Discord. Nobody wants to be in a relationship of discord. Nobody wants to be around people who are out of the will of God or constantly bringing friction. Who would want to be in that kind of friction, that kind of place? We don't want to. We want to be in a harmonious relationship, whether it's church relationships, whether it's relationships with friends and family. You want to be in a relationship where there's harmony in the relationship. You can laugh and joke. Even if you disagree, there's a way to disagree. In Proverbs 16 says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yeah, 7 are an abomination unto him. 7 are an abomination. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief. See how God hates those things. That's not, I don't really believe God hates it. Verse 19 says, a false witness that speak of lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. So you got all these different things that God hates. First he says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yes, 7 is an abomination of him. A proud look. Pride. Pride. How does pride affect? One thing we have to understand, bless my brothers and sisters, is that pride is something that God said, because Lucifer magnified pride when he was sitting up on and he wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to have his place on the throne. He wanted to be the one elevated to new heights. How does God look at pride in our lives? How does he look at it? And he says he hates it. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. There's a contrast. Pride, which is saying, I want to be elevated, and humility, which says, I want to be dropped low. Lord, keep me low so I can keep looking at you. I can keep looking up. When you're full of pride, though, you're basically looking up past God, because you're looking at yourself in the mirror. It's all about what you want. Proverbs 16:5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. You think you're on the throne? Maybe it's your money, your car, your things, your stuff. If those things are running your life, that's a form of pride. Because everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination. You look at people with money who chasing after the almighty dollar. who seem to be looking for things. They're not concerned about helping other people. They're concerned about how to help themselves. Again, he says, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he or she will not go unpunished. Proverbs 20:23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. In other words, God wants us to get so low to the ground that we're always looking up at him and saying, Lord, keep me. I want to be right in your will. I don't want nothing that's not from God, because if it's not from God, it's going to burn. It's not going to last. I want what God has for me, because he's not going to give me nothing that I'm not ready to handle. The moment that I start to step out and think that I'm going to get something apart from God, then I'm in trouble. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, that means an arrogant spirit, one who's lifted up, turning their nose up at God and saying, hey, you know what, God, I can do all by myself. I don't need you. A haughty spirit. What do you say? And a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before the destruction. In other words, all you're doing is getting ready to run off the cliff with your pride. You climbing, and then eventually you fall. You run right off the cliff. You think, hey, can nobody drop me down? Well, look at what Satan, what happened to Satan. Lucifer thought that, hey, this stuff didn't stink. And God said, boop, kicked him off his throne, kicked him out of heaven. Now he's been down here for the last 6,000 years doing what? Mad. And he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's using you. He's using the person that thinks that they don't need God. Because only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14:1. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. You got to be a fool to really denounce God, the creator. You got to be a moron. Because you're basically saying that this stuff just came to be. All this stuff, all these people on this planet just came out of nothing. Wow. That's foolishness to think like that. Galatians 6:3 says, when anyone thinks he is something, when he or she is nothing, he deceives or she deceives herself. And I don't want nothing to keep me from being humble and thirsty and hungry for the word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been there and I've fallen and bust my head to the white meat, and God had mercy on me. I could still be out there in my mess. But God was gracious to me. I'm telling you, friends, don't play with pride. Do not play with pride. You will lose. You will lose if you try to play with pride. Again, he says a proud look, a lion tongue. What's this? A lion tongue? Yeah, God hates that. He hates liars. You and I, if we walk around talking about, you know, speaking lies instead of truth, not gonna be profitable. God doesn't like lion tongues. And like liars, he hates lies. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Maybe you think, oh, I can tell a white lie, tell a little bitty lie, a little bitty here, a little bit. He says a little leaven is a whole lump. So telling no kind of lie. Speak the truth in love is what God commands us to do. Speak the truth in love. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken us that is not common to man, but God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I know it might not be feasible to tell the truth all the time, but it's going to be a blessing and it's going to be beneficial to you and I when we speak the truth, because God wants us to be truthful. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. In other words, you've taken off them old filthy robes of unrighteousness, and you put on the new robe, Jesus Christ. You put on the clothes of righteousness. So God wants you to practice what you say you are. Do not lie one to to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and with its practices. See, whatever the old life was, hey, for me it was, you know, sex, alcohol, all these things of the world. Maybe for you it was all kinds of other things. Whatever it was, put it off. Take it off. Don't go put that stuff back on. Stop trying to be like Linus from the Peanut Gallery and put on this, that carrying your old filthy blanket around. He says, we need to put on Jesus Christ. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. Who's the creator? Jesus. We need to put on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means, hey, if you was a liar 6 months ago, you're not a liar anymore. Stop saying, well, it's kind of like some 10, 12-step program. No, we don't need no 12-step. We need one step with Jesus and let him take off the old man and put on the new man. Because he says, that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you still look like the old person, then you're not the new. There's been no change if there has not been any change in character. It's amazing how people, it's kind of like, think about it like this. If you were going to be married to somebody, and this man told you he loves God, he loves you, but yet he continues, but I'm talking to the ladies now, and let's just say the ladies and men, if it was a man or woman, but if you're married to this person, you expect certain character traits out of them. You don't expect them to be somebody that's out there whoring around. You expect them to be cussing you out. You don't want them to beat you or fight you or none of that. If that was the old life that they used to be in, then you expect something different when you come home. You don't want to come home to a butt whipping. You don't want to come home to somebody that's not at home. You see them on Friday, you see them on a Thursday, a Monday through Thursday, and then Saturday through Sunday, they're out there whoring around. They don't come home. That's not a person that you would want to accept as somebody of true character. That's not somebody that's been transformed by the portal of regeneration. That's somebody that's still out there in that world. That's why he tells us in Romans 1:30, slanderers and haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. This is the people of the old life. Those are not people that know Christ. Those are people of the old life. Romans 1:29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossip. These are people that are not being changed. And again, friends, who wants to be with somebody? Look, if God has changed you, you expect the person that you're with to elevate your life, not to tear it down, not to destroy it. You don't want somebody that's going to hinder your walk. You want somebody that's going to build you up in the faith. You want no liars. You don't want them people that's not truthful to who they say. 1 John 2:4, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar. That's a present tense. That's not the past tense. That's a present tense. If I tell you I know God and then you see him out here doing, you know, whatever the world is doing, and I'm shucking and jiving and cussing folks out and drinking, getting high, and talking all kinds of ungodly talk, then I'm a liar. And the truth is not in me. Plain and simple. Call it what it is. We seem to want to water down things in the last days. Well, that person is not, nobody's perfect. All of sin and fall short. No, stop the foolishness. Stop the foolishness. You accept bad behavior from people because this is who they are. When we accept bad, if God is not redeeming us, has not redeemed us, then there will be no change. But if a man or woman of God is truly called Jesus their Lord and Savior, there should be a change. There should be a change in their life. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm talking about a life of sinning less and being perfected in the Spirit, being perfected in Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:10, the sexually immoral men who practice homosexual, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Those people not entering the kingdom of heaven. Don't get it twisted. We got people out here that think they can do whatever they want to do and still get into the kingdom of heaven. That's not going to happen, Will. Not going to happen. It's just like, would you allow somebody that's doing drugs to come in your house? And you say, well, you know, I can't judge them. No, we need to judge what's wrong. We need to judge everything that's unlike God. It's not right. We need to separate ourselves from that, or them, or those people who practice those things. Amen. What else we see here in Proverbs 6? He tells us here, again, a proud look, a lion turned heads, and shed innocent blood. Oh, you got the people that's murdered. Those that murder innocent people. Those that think it's okay to kill the babies from the womb. See people all the time telling, oh well, you know, that's not a baby. Not a child. Oh, really? Hold on, I got a problem with my. You got people that think it's okay. You can just, you know, murder babies and it's. Nobody, hey, we can do whatever we want to do, you know, because there's no absolute truth in this world anymore. So because there's no absolute right or wrong, then basically I'll create my own truth. I'll create my own righteousness. Well, I'm sorry, that's not gonna happen. God says you will have to give an account for everything when you shed the blood of innocent people. The shedding of innocent blood is definitely a no-no. In Proverbs 6:15, again, we see we read that a haughty eyes, a lion tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Genesis 9:6 says, whoever sheds the blood of a man by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Now, this does not mean that the death penalty was wrong. Or anything like that, because God instituted the death penalty, and it was just because God made it that way. In Deuteronomy 19:10, let innocent blood be shed in your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and so the guilt of bloodshed be upon you. In Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you before you were born. I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. 2 Kings 21, verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin that he made Judah to sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So we see here, friends, there's a consequence of shedding of innocent blood, but we live in a society, in a country right now where, hey, people do it every day because we have abortion at an all-time high. The abortion clinics are foolish, innocent, the voices of innocent babies. And let's be honest, 90% of these women didn't get raped. Most of them just made bad choices to lay down with people that they weren't married to, first of all, made a bad choice to lay down with somebody they knew wasn't going to be responsible, wasn't going to be around. Let's just call it what it is, irresponsible sexual deviance. If I don't want to be responsible, hey, we don't have no birth control, we don't have no condoms, whatever. But how about getting back to what God says about the marriage bed being undefiled in Hebrews 13:4? God is concerned. You would not have the shedding of innocent blood if there was no sexual immorality going on at an all-time high in this nation. Because, again, the porn industry is going rapid. Everything is acceptable. My right to live any way I want to and do whatever I want to do, it causes the shedding of innocent blood. But that's okay. God has an answer for it. And he will one day, there will be justice delivered to all who have done that and have not repented. All who have shed his innocent blood and have not repented will have to give an account. Proverbs 24:11-12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does he, not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? In other words, you can't fool God. He knows exactly what you're doing, and you know exactly what you're doing. But guess what, man? It doesn't matter what you say. You can't plead your case and say, we didn't know what we was doing. Oh, man, we knew. We made these choices. Verse 18, it says, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. You see here, it says, when you look at how cruel man can be without a relationship with God, we see that man can be very ruthless. It wasn't just a record company that Suge Knight started. I mean, NWA started. Ruthlessness is in the DNA of mankind. Everybody that does not know Jesus, they will do exactly what their sin nature. We all will. If we don't know the Lord, we operate according to our flesh, and our flesh will flare up, and it will lead us astray. Wicked imagination. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the heart, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He told us that in Genesis 6:5. You go back, even back to the back to chapter 4 of Genesis, we see where Cain slew Abel. Why? Because it was in his heart. Sin had been released from the moment that they ate of the forbidden fruit. Sin was launched out into the world. Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's reprobate, friend. That's when God says, I just give you over to what you want. You want the lust of the flesh, you want your lust, you want your mess, whatever it is you want, whatever sin you want to line up with, I'll just turn you over to it. Genesis 8:21, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. That was after the flood. That was after the flood, and Noah and his family was let out the ark. 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, this is a person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. He or she is under the umbrella of God's sovereign grace, and therefore we have to bring down every imagination and destroy every argument. See, we have the power and ability to stop any kind of evil and stuff coming upon us when you just take a stand for. Hey, you have to bring it up under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit. You can't allow man to dictate you or draw you into an argument or evil or malice or to get you in your flesh. You have to take a stand and bring down every imagination, every stronghold. Proverbs 6:18. I'm sorry. In Luke 1:51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Jeremiah 7:24, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsel and the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You want to see the backslider? That's a person that was walking with God, and then all of a sudden, they decide that there's something back there in the world that they need to go after. Don't let that be you, friends. I've been there. Not a good place to be. You don't want to kill no part of that world when God has set you free. You want to be stay free. Stay free, and you stay free in the word of God. Feet that are swift into running into mischief. These are the people that they love to go into mess. They always want to be mess. Running into mischief. People that just can't stay out of mess. They got to be busy, Bob. You know what? God is even busy. He's always ready to meet us. When we're messing up, Hebrews 12:1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, God wants us to be running towards glory, running the race towards glory. Come out from among the heathen. Come out from among those who are trying to tear us down, trying to trap us. The enemy is out for us. The kill, steal, and destroy. If three things is warring against you, the flesh, the devil, and the world, you got to know that they, neither one of them are your friends. As long as they're operating, as long as we're here in this world, as long as the devil's still around, because I'm so sick of people trying to bind and rebuke him and put him into hell. He's not in hell, friends. He won't be there until you get to Revelation chapter 21. So what do you think? He's not in hell. And he really won't be in the lake of fire until God puts him there. So I don't know what you're binding him with. You must be using silly string or some kite string or something out there, because he's not in hell. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners must run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, the believer, an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beat in the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. In other words, friends, whatever I'm sharing, whatever any preacher is sharing, when it comes to truth, he must preach to himself first and foremost. Whatever word you have of encouragement to others, encourage yourself first. Whatever word you have to exhort yourself, whatever word you give yourself to come out of a particular sin, make sure that you can do that, because you've had a victory. You're not defeated. You can't encourage somebody when you've been defeated and Satan's been busting you upside the head. He's been beating you all upside the head. You got to be victorious. You got to have won the battle. I mean, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do nothing by me strengthening myself. But when Christ is strengthening me, I can do all things. Galatians 5:7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Satan is always trying to hinder you. But guess what? Your biggest hindrance is you and me. We are our own worst enemy, because we in our own way. We're in our own way. And we need to get out of our way by getting into the Word of God and letting the Word of God minister to us. Minister to us. Last point, a false witness that speaks lies and sows discord among the brothers. It kind of ties into the same thing, because a false witness is a lying witness. A person that just continuously, they have nothing. They can't bring you any words of encouragement because they don't know him. They don't know Jesus. They're false witnesses. These are people who basically will set you up for the fall. You know, you have to be very careful of the company you keep, because the company you keep can basically destroy you. These are people who basically are false witnesses. They're lying. You can trust them on the court. If they say these are the type of people that if it's raining outside, they told you it was raining, you're still going to go and check, because whatever they say is lie. Be like Maury Povich when he started to read the results, and that's a lie. This is how they are. They can't tell you nothing truthful. They don't know what the truth is. It's not in them. They're of their father, the devil. And the deeds of their father they're going to do. And he says, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. These are the people that sow discord among the brothers. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer, this is gospel separates close friends. Proverbs 6:14, with perverted heart, with a perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. With a perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. You can't trust people like this. They constantly are doing nothing to build up, but they're always tearing down. Exodus 20:16, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates close friends. Psalm 133:1, a song of offense, song of offense of David. Behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity. You have brothers and sisters that always are there to edify you and build you up, or they bring in discord. They come in with the word of God, a word of encouragement, unified, and they come to bring discord. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James 4:11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We all are to build up our brothers and sisters who are fallen, but at the same time, you have to be careful. Their sin can become your sin. You want to restore. You want to exhort them, admonish them, and lovingly give them some encouragement, let them know that God loves them. But at the same time, you got to be careful. If they're not really truly repentant, they can take you into that dark place yourself. So you have to be very careful, very careful. Romans 12:17-21 in closing: repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable. In the sight of all, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his or her head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As we see here, friends, in Proverbs 6:16, we see the contrast of what happens when God hates, but when he also shows us how he loves. In the midst of our life, there is hope at the cross of Christ. It's in Jesus Christ that you can find the forgiveness of your sins and trespasses. Yes, God does hate sin, but he loves the sinner enough to bring him or her out of the sin and bring them into restoration and give them forgiveness. But you must be born again. You might say, well, God can't forgive me. I just done too much. Oh, yeah, he can't forgive you. God just wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to come out of darkness and into the light. But you must deny your flesh. You must deny yourself and be willing to die so you can live. God wants to restore you into a right place. He wants to give you a new heart. Remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and bring you out of sin and bring you into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, I'm not good enough. None of us are. None of us are. But God loves you so much. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this, if somebody shares this with you, he loves you so much that he wants you to hear the message of the cross that you can know that you don't have to stay lost, and that you can be received as a vessel of honor. You can be restored, and you can be made righteous in Jesus Christ by turning from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ, making him Lord and Savior of your life. And watch the change in your life. There has to be a change after you come to Christ. There will be a change. There will be a miraculous change. There will be a supernatural change. A change that will blow your mind. Because God, when you come to Christ by faith, you're basically saying, I no longer want to live for the things of this world, but I want to live for the one who created the world, the one who died for my sins, the one who died for the sins of the whole world, the one who set me apart, sanctified me, and made me a new creation. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You just need to know the God of the Bible loves you and wants to give you, wants you to have a personal relationship with him today, right now. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. Right today, January the 12th, at 12:21 a.m. It's not too late. You might have thought you were just going to go to sleep and, you know, sleep the night away. You might not wake up in the morning. But what's more important? Getting your soul right with God, and you can have life, eternal life, or dying in your sin and going to hell without Christ. You don't have to answer that question. For those who might want to know Jesus, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. But this prayer must be said with faith. It must be said that you, and you must believe it. You must deny yourself. You must, the sin that you now live under, you must be ready to denounce it. Whatever your sin is, whatever it is that's got you in a stronghold, whatever got you bowed down, you got to give it up. All you got to do is say, Lord, I've been a sinner, been living a sinful life. And you name that sin, whatever the sin is, whatever it is, fornication, adultery, idolatry, malice, covetous, wickedness, whatever the sin is. Whatever you've been a slave to, you no longer want to be a slave to that any longer. You want to be a slave to Jesus Christ. You want to make him your life. You denounce this world and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You tell him, Lord, I want you. I want you to show me the way. I want you to lead me for the rest of my life. I don't know what it all entails. I don't know what all I'm going to have to do. But right now, I'm giving up me. I want you to lead me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die and miss your forgiveness. So right now, I'm asking you for forgiveness, and I'm seeking you for restoration and redemption and regeneration. I'm asking you to be my God, be my Lord, be my Savior. Friend, if you just prayed that, if you just truly confessed that and gave Jesus Christ your life, you have new life at the foot of the cross. And God wants you to grow. He wants you to know him and the power of his, he wants you to know his mercy and his grace. He wants you to know his redemption. He wants you to know the power of the cross. And he wants you to get into a healthy, well-balanced church. He wants you to get into your Bible and watch it come alive.
Right now,
you truly have confessed your sins and prayed for God to redeem you. I want you to reach out to me. Hit me up on Instagram, your Facebook, your old Kendrick. Hit me up. We'll help you find a well balanced Bible teaching church in your area if you're not in the Los Angeles. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, come check us out at Core Church of LA. No such thing as a perfect church because you got sinners that have been redeemed. And we all are work in progress. We all are working out our salvation with your intent. You might say, I need to clean my life up before I come to church. But you need to clean, you need to give your life to Jesus and watch him do, put you through the rinse cycle, through the washing machine of regeneration. And watch God change you. Nothing you can do for yourself, right? You're spiritually bankrupt. Only thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you give your life to him, you will be a new creation. But if you still, if you think you can fix yourself and then come to Christ, you're going to continue to be contaminated and dead in your trespasses and sin. God loves you so much that he wants you to have life through him. And trust in him as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time, this fellowship, time of fellowship. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord, I know that I deserve here. The hottest part of here. Why did you save a wretch like me? But I thank you, Lord. I'm so unworthy. I thank you. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, for souls right now. We pray for those who might be struggling with this. What it really means to be saved. We pray, Lord, you would touch these men and women who might be listening right now. They may have life, life more abundant at the foot of the cross. And we just thank you for this time of fellowship and this Bible study. We ask, Father God, that this was a sweet-smelling aroma in your nostrils this evening. Through the word of God, touch many hearts. Let be an encouraging word to somebody, highways and byways. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. Amen. 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 All right, friends. All right. It's just been a long day. We got an appointment in the morning at the VA, but hey, I wanted to, you know, God pressed it on my heart to bring this word. So I pray that this word was encouraging to you. For those who might think that, oh, God loves everything and loves everybody, you know. See what the Bible says. It's always not my word, but what does the word of God say? I don't have no opinion. My opinion means nothing. Only thing that matters is what says the King of Glory. He said it, and we need to believe it. Amen. So, again, if you want to follow my podcast on Blog Talk Radio, Minister Big Ken 65 at Blog Talk Radio. You can follow me there. Follow me on Facebook at Gerald Kendrick. You can follow me on Twitter at dkendricksr65 and Gmail at dkendricksr@gmail.com. Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, give you his peace as we continue to live in this fallen and corrupt world. We need to just be encouraged. God has kept us so far. For those who know him, you already
don't
know.
Don't kill yourself in the gym.
You already
break
know.
Break your bones trying to hit those goals.
You already know what he did for you. He did it for you. He can do it for your friend. He can do it for your neighbor. He can do it for everybody else out there. Amen?
Okay.
Have a blessed day. Minister. You just heard the word.
Speculation of peace. The whole world acts like a fake. Spirit is covering it over the face of the